today. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to, in just a few moments, I'm going to share some things with you from the Word of God. But afterwards, we have a young one that's going to be dedicated to the Lord. We're going to dedicate to the Lord. Amen. And after that, we have some folks that's going to join the church. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. So I hope you can remain for all three. Praise God. It's a blessing. Amen. It's a blessing to just come together in the name of the Lord, isn't it? Amen. Praise God. You know, and you've heard me say this before. Some of you have heard me say this before. Technology is good, and it makes things more convenient for us in many ways. Sometimes it can be a headache, so to speak. But there is a positive side to it, and there's a negative side to it. God has some things set. How many of you know the Word never changes? Amen. The Word of God remains the same. And one of the things that God tells us in His Word is not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and to do it even more as we see the day of the return of the Lord approaching. That's what it's talking about, the day approaching, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be growing stronger and stronger and stronger, getting closer and closer and closer to God. Amen. But that's only part of it. We should be drawing closer and closer and closer to one another. Amen. So when we come to church, that's the time to hear the Word of God, but it's also the time to fellowship with your fellow brothers, your fellow sisters, get to know the folk that you don't know. And I want to encourage you, before you leave here today, find somebody and greet them before you leave. Amen. Get somebody's name. Let them know that you're glad that they're here. That's part of fellowship. Amen. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. Amen. It is a good thing to cause a brother or a sister, they may not even be saved, but to bring a smile to someone's face because we gave them an encouraging word. Amen. How many of you could use some encouragement every now and then? Well, my hand's up too. Amen. Praise God. And that's the reason we are told to encourage one another. And we are told to comfort one another just as God comforts us. God comforts us, He encourages us, and we are to pass it along to our fellow brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. And to those that do not know Him. And I'm going to get to my message here in just a moment, but I want to say this to you. Jesus told us that there are two commandments that we are to keep. Say that again. There are two commandments that we are to keep. Only two. The first one is to love God. You hear me? The first one is to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with everything that's in us. We are to love God. You hear me? We are to love God. Because he loved us first. And he still does. Hallelujah. We are to love God. And then Jesus went on to say that the second commandment is just like it. We are to love our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Not just the neighbor you like. You know what I mean by like? You know, some folk, you know, we're told to love everybody, but I realize sometimes some folk don't act very lovely. Amen. But we're told to love them. So now, if you love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, if you really, I say you, that includes me too, if we love him, then guess what? We're going to find ourselves doing those things that we know pleases him. Am I right? Absolutely. Amen. Matter of fact, Jesus himself said, if you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. In other words, you keep my instructions. You follow my words. You do what I tell you to do. If you love me, that is proof. That is proof that you love me by keeping my commandments, by keeping my word, by keeping my instruction. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. One of his instructions is that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Hallelujah. Again, I hadn't really got into my message yet, and I'm not going to keep you long, but this is on my heart. And I just want to give you right now what's on my heart. Listen to me real good. The Word of God tells us that we are not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. In other words, we need to know his tricks. We need to understand his tricks, be able to discern good and evil. Know when it's God and know when it's not. Amen? So we are not to be ignorant of his devices. Hear me on this one. One of his devices, and it's very high on his list, maybe at the top, is to divide. Because if he can divide, he can conquer. Amen. Whatever you do, don't walk and live in offense. Because when that happens, you become like that little sheep that's separated from the rest of the flock, and the wolf is watching you. The wolf is watching you, and he wants to devour you. Don't you let it happen. Is there an amen in here somewhere?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, what I'm saying right now, I had not planned. But I want you to receive it. I want you to receive it. He wants to divide and conquer. Everybody say divide and conquer.
Divide and conquer.
If he can get you divided, or if he can get us to say, I can do this alone, I don't need church, I don't need this, I don't need that. I've heard many people say, I don't like going to church because they're hypocrites in church. Well, whoop-de-doo, I got news for you. There are also hypocrites in hell. There are imperfect people in churches. Amen. There are imperfect people. That's the reason we go to church, so that we can grow in the things of God. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Now, if you happen to be in a church that you feel like God is leading you out of, but he's not leading you out there by yourself to sit at home. There's somewhere else he wants you to go. That's the reason we're to be led by the Spirit, not by offense. And I could go into some other things, I won't. You'd be surprised why some people go to church. I remember hearing about a pastor that was single. This happened to be a single pastor. Right nice looking fella, but he was single. And he was single for a good while, and he had a large church. Some of you may know who I'm talking about, but I'm certainly not going to call his name, but had a large church. And I was told that most of his congregation were women. And so this pastor decided to get married. And when he got married, he lost part of the female congregation. They left. I guess they found him another church, I don't know. But my point is, they were there for the wrong reason. They wanted his attention when they should have been there for the word of God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe what I just said helped somebody. I believe it helped somebody. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you, Father God, for everyone that has gathered together with us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for those that's watching by way of the live stream. And I pray, Father God, that their ears will be open and their hearts open to receive your word today. That after this message, they will never be the same because of the living word of God. And Father, you have declared that your word will not return to you void. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. All righty, you got your Bible. I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And I thought I was going in a little different direction today, but I woke up this morning early, earlier than I intended to. And this was on my heart as I woke up. So I believe this is the direction that God wants us to go. You've heard me, you have 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I haven't given you a verse yet, but you've heard me tell you many times, and I will continue to do that, remind you that we are living in the last of the last days. Amen. We are living in the last of the last days. See, some people don't realize it. The last days actually began on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell on those folks in the upper room. Peter got up and announced to the people that this is what Joel, the prophet Joel, had prophesied in the last days, that God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. I think we're dismissing the young folk. Is that what we're doing? Okay. But he prophesied that God would, in the last days, that God would pour out his spirit on all flesh. Hallelujah. Now, that's been around 2,000 years ago. That's the reason I know we're living in the last of the last days. Hallelujah. And of course, we have many, many, many signs pointing to that very fact that we're living in the last days. But you have to understand, listen to me, and this is what I want to get across to you today. Satan also knows that his time is short. Are you listening to me? He knows that his time is short. And so he's trying to do all the damage that he can do in the short time that he has left. He wants to destroy the church. He wants to divide the church. The sinners, he have them already. Right? The sinners, he has them. But he wants to divide the church so that we cannot preach the gospel or are hindered from preaching the gospel to the lost, so that they too can be born again. God is trying to get each and every one of us placed in our God-called position so that we can be effective at reaching the lost. That we can be effective at doing the work of the gospel. Now, I have you at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In the 15th chapter, one of the things that the Apostle Paul talked about as he was moved by the Holy Spirit was the fact that in the last days the church would be taken out of here. Amen. Well, I tell you what, let me do this. Look at verse 50. I wasn't going to read this much, but I think I'll go ahead and do it. Verse 50, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this I say, brethren. Look at someone says, talking about you. Yeah, if you're born again, he's talking about you, the brethren and the sistren. We can say it that way, okay? In other words, he's talking to believers. Let me say it that way. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Now I'm reading from the New King James Bible. And look at verse 51. He said, behold, I tell you a mystery. A mystery. We shall not all sleep. He's not talking about going to bed. He's talking about dying. We shall not all die. But we shall all be what? Change. Glory. Hallelujah. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. At the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Now, when he said dead shall be raised incorruptible, he's talking about the dead believers, those that were born again when they died. Okay? Amen. When Christ returned, in what we call the rapture, or the catching away of the church, those that are in Christ, not the sinners, those that are in Christ will rise from the grave. Their bodies will. Amen. Their spirits are with the Lord, but their bodies will rise from the grave and become an incorruptible body. And their spirits will connect again with their bodies, but this time it'll be an incorruptible body. So let me, verse 52, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this incorruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Somebody shout hallelujah. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades or hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Hallelujah. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? Let me read that again. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is where I'm going. I want to read that, but this is where I'm going. Because of what we just read, we need to pay special attention to verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, that's the body of Christ, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hallelujah. I will finish this verse, but I want to go back to the beginning of verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in what? The work of the Lord. Knowing something, that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. That's the reason I try to be quick to give God the praise and the glory for everything that He's done in my life. Because I can't do it without Him. And He's going to reward me later for my faithfulness to His call on my life. And the same applies to you. Amen. Now, upstairs, I want to do something. Verse 58, Amplified Bible, I want to read it to you from the Amplified Bible. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing what? Let me stop right there for a minute. We're going to finish it. But many Christians have bought into this lie that, well, since it's for God, you know, just do enough to get by. Just do enough to get by. And I hope you agree with me on this. I am a pastor that believes in excellence when it comes to the work of the Lord. We need to be willing to give God 100%. Amen. Are you still with me? Be willing to give God 100%. Now, let me read this again. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be firm, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always being superior, excelling, doing more than enough in the service of the Lord, knowing and being continually aware that your labor in the Lord is not futile. It is never wasted or to no purpose. Hallelujah. God keeps good records. Are you listening to me? God keeps good records. So what should we be doing as a church and as the body of Christ, giving God our all? After all, He did give us His all. He gave us His all. Because we know that the days are short. I mean, time is short, and He is coming back. He's coming back. Well, Pastor, I tell you, I'm serving the Lord, but I get a little tired sometimes. Sometimes I get discouraged. Sometimes people don't seem to acknowledge what I do. Don't get caught in that trap. Let me tell you something. We don't live for praise from people. The accolades are fine, and we give God glory for them. But if you are dependent on people to keep you encouraged, you're on dangerous ground. It's good. Listen to me. It is good when it happens. We should encourage one another, right? Matter of fact, I just said that earlier. We're to comfort one another, encourage one another in the Lord. But as we grow in the things of God, we must learn to trust in God. And when someone says something good about us or compliment us, tell them thank you and glory to God. Thank you. But don't rest in that, because the person behind them might have something else to say. We are to remain steadfast, not moved by what others say, not moved by how we feel, but moved by what He says. Amen. I believe every one of you would have something to say if I was to ask you, and I'm not. But have you been discouraged in the last 30 days? If I was to ask you that question, I'm sure every one of you would have something to say. Or let me put it this way, tempted to be discouraged. How about that? Because that's the world we live in. But we are the light of the world. Jesus said it. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. And we run off different fuel than the earth, than the world does. Did you get that? Listen, listen. In John 17, you've heard me say it before, but I won't say it again. In John 17, when Jesus prayed for us, He prayed that the Father wouldn't take us out of the world, because we need to be here to touch the world for Jesus. But He did pray, Father, keep them from the evil one. Hallelujah. Keep them from the evil one. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, don't allow the evil one to discourage you to the point where you say, I'm just going to sit down. I'm going to quit. Don't let that happen. Don't let the evil one discourage you to the point where you say, man, I'm just not going to church anymore. I'll just watch it on live stream. Thank God for live streaming, because it helps those that can't get out. But I'm going to tell you something about live streaming and your natural human body. I use my own self as an example. You know, I don't get into sports too much, but during football season, I do watch a few games. If I have the time, if I'm free, I'll watch a few games. But here's the thing. A lot of times the games are watching me. I turn the television on with the intention of watching the game. I wake up, the game's either gone or about gone. Why? I went to sleep. Oh, by the way, those of you that's watching this live stream, don't go to sleep on me out there. Get up, put your clothes on, wash your face. I've heard folk talk about watching their church services sitting on the edge of the bed. That's not a good place to watch it. Because you find yourself waking up after the service is over. But there's a downside to the live streaming because your body says, I just want to relax. Now, I realize that can happen in church, too. Anybody ever been sleepy in church? Amen. And notice I said ever been. I'm not going to ask if anybody's sleepy right now. I'm not going to pry. Amen. Are you still with me? Whatever you do, give God all you got. Because God gives you all he got. And on that great day, at the judgment seat of Jesus Christ, he's going to say, thank you for your service. I have some crowns for you, rewarding you for your faithfulness. And we're going to be so appreciative, standing in awe, that we're going to take those very crowns and lay them at Jesus' feet, because we wouldn't be there without him. Hallelujah. Now is not the time to quit. Now is not the time to slow down. Now is not the time to get drowsy. Now is the time to refire. You hear me? Let me say that again. Now is the time to refire. Let's get busy about the things of God. Do you hear me? I said, do you hear me?
Amen.
Glory to God. I'm not going to finish, but I want to take you to the book of Luke. Jesus asked a very serious question. Luke chapter 18. Hallelujah. We are told to fight the good fight of faith. Am I right? Am I right? Look at verse 18. Chapter 18, verse 1. Then he spake a parable to them that men ought always to what? Pray and not lose heart. Pray and not lose heart. Don't give up. Saying there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God. Some of you are familiar with this. Nor regarded man. In other words, he had no respect for man either. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And then Jesus went on to say, and shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bear long with them. Now, verse 8 is where I'm going. Listen to me very closely. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, what was Jesus' question? Will he find faith on the earth? Or the New King James says, will he really find faith on the earth? When Jesus come back, I want him to catch me fired up. Jesus himself, our Lord, asked this question. When the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? This widow woman was persistent in her faith and was not willing to take no for an answer. Although she was outmatched by the judge who had no respect for God and no respect for man. But this woman knew something. We got to stay with it, folks. Hallelujah. We can't quit. Jesus is still Lord. You hear me? Jesus is still Lord. Now, I want to read this one, this 8th verse to you from the Amplified Bible. Put it on the screen for me, please. Luke 18:8, Amplified. I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth? And I hope your response to that is a resounding yes, Lord. I'm going to stand. I'm not quitting, and I'm not slowing down. And I will not allow what's going on in this world to cause me to quit. I read the end of the book, folks. We are the winners. Hallelujah. So stay in the race. Stay in the race. As I get ready to close, musicians, you can come on. Stay prayed up. You listening? Stay prayed up. Matter of fact, Jesus said men ought to pray and not faint, right? Amen. Stay prayed up. Stay before God. And you will be so, let me say it this way, God will cause you to be so sharp spiritually that you will be able to recognize what's of God and what's not. What's trying to pull you away from God and what's trying to draw you closer to God. Things around, and I believe we're going to see a move of God. Amen. I like to bring you back to Isaiah chapter 60. God spoke to me years ago that the glory of the Lord risen upon us. Matter of fact, put Isaiah, I'm getting ready to stop, but put Isaiah chapter 1, chapter 60, verse 1 on the screen for me, please. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. I want to leave this with you. I want you to take this personally. Will you do that? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, I want you to make this personal, okay? I want you to make this personal. See, I must rise and shine. For your light has come. I said that wrong. For my light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. Are you ready to receive that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Verse 2, please. This is prophetic, folks. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. Do you think we're there yet? And deep darkness, the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. Hallelujah. Say, the Lord will arise over me, and his glory will be seen upon me. And that's talking to folks living in a dark world. Dark world. But it's not going to happen if you quit. It's not going to happen if you draw back. Hallelujah. Let's get rid of all the excuses. And let's go forward. In the name of the Lord. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word that will never